Welcome to Gloom and Bloom. This is Christine.
This is Taylor.
And you guys, I'm so thrilled because, boom, it was Labor Day and suddenly it's fall.
It's fall. It feels so good.
It's so much cooler.
I don't want it to be cold, but I'm okay with this.
Yes, it feels so nice. Like, it's still in the 80s. Totally. But you wake up in the morning and I'm like, oh my gosh, what is that? Is the air crisp? It's crisp.
It's a little crisp. It's beautiful. And, yeah.
Well,
I'm wearing a sweatshirt today.
Taylor's got a sweatshirt on. See, when we drove home from St. George, where it's sunny and hot, we came home and it snowed in the mountains. Mm-hmm. I didn't see it, but the clouds did my favorite thing where they just like sit on the mountains.
Mm-hmm. Beautiful.
I love it so much.
Yeah.
So yeah, just Taylor got a PSL today.
He did.
Yeah, because it's PSL season, y'all.
It sure is. Beautiful.
I have not. I did buy a fall scented candle.
Yeah.
So, same.
Beautiful. What fall scent did you get?
I don't even know. One from Target. I can't even remember.
Okay, so it wasn't like a Bath and Body Works.
No, but apparently they're like closing all the stores or something.
No, that's Bed Bath & Beyond.
Oh.
Don't worry.
Oh my gosh.
Bath & Body Works is safe.
Oh my gosh. Bed Bath & Beyond, stressed.
Out.
Goodbye. Mm-hmm. Well, thank goodness.
Yeah.
Because I need to go. Because, yeah, when their fall candles come out, it's my favorite.
Good. I know. And I know they're like, scents aren't good for you. And I'm like, but.
You know what's good for me? Being happy.
Smelling my house and not thinking, wow, this smells like nothing.
This smells like the food I cooked yesterday and now makes me want to die a little.
Exactly.
As soon as dinner's over, I'm like, why does it still smell like onions in here?
Like, oh,
maybe. Revolting.
Yeah. I'm always like super paranoid because I have a big dog that my house smells like dog.
Oh, yeah. That is the worst.
And I don't think it does, but I've like made many people promise me that if my house smells like dog, that they'll let me know. But I don't know if they're going to let me know.
Yeah, that's a hard one.
Yeah.
But I don't think you ever smell like dog.
Thanks.
Yeah, I know. I feel like
I shower.
That's great. That's important.
It's an important thing.
Step one to smelling nice.
Daily.
That's something I'm trying to teach my 10-year-old, and it's confusing for her.
That's a really hard struggle. I actually think you and I talked about this one time, but like when I was that age, my mom would always, which is funny because I'm a hairdresser now.
Yeah.
But my mom would be like, Taylor, go brush your hair. And I'd always say, what? It's not like I'm going to a ball or anything.
Every pretty girl deserves to go to a ball.
Like, why? Like, if I'm not going to a ball, no need in brushing like, my hair.
I can have as many hair as I want. I'm not impressing any princes today,
exactly.
Mother.
Exactly.
How dare you?
I'm like, oh my gosh, what is wrong with me?
I love
She's
that.
Like, just like look a little bit nice. And I'm like, no.
Will not do it.
Won't do it.
I hope Kara is just the same.
Oh.
Says, no, Mom. I'm not even going to a ball.
I'm not going to a ball. Duh.
So what did you do for the weekend?
Honestly, just like relax. Nothing crazy.
That's like that's my favorite kind of weekend.
I know. And it was super great because I did take my kids to Spirit Halloween.
Oh, was there lots of scary stuff for them?
Yes.
Well, they're scared by the motion activated.
Yeah. They like are things. Like scared, but they love it.
Uh-huh.
So we go the first time and usually what happens is they're like way too freaked out, but guaranteed, especially my 5-year-old, he will ask to go back approximately 35 times.
Oh, yeah, because then once they get over the scary, then it's just mm-hmm. really cool.
Yeah, and he'll still, like, stay far away, but there was, like, this little, you know, the spring activated. It's, like, this devil guy, and he shrinks down, like, I don't know, really close to the ground, and then he shoots up and forward about 10 feet.
No!
Yes!
That is way too much.
It is very
alarming.
That's
too much space to cover.
I was like, oh my God.
So you bought it.
I bought it. No. I've already met my Max animatronics purchase this year.
Have you? Did you buy something?
I did.
What did you get?
It's the graveyard guy from Haunted Mansion.
Oh.
He like has the lantern and he has that little skinny dog next to him.
Uh-huh.
And his like lantern goes back and forth and he has like the face. And he plays like the Haunted Mansion music that's like in, you know, the main graveyard.
Mm. Cute.
And I love him.
See, every year my girls are like, our house is so boring. We have no outside fall decorations. And I'm like, sorry. Because our neighbors, they like have the blow up things. They like,
I don't like the blow-ups.
See, yeah, that they look cheesy. Like they let each of their kids pick one, so they like they don't match. They don't, and our kids think it's the coolest, but I'm like, It's so aesthetically unpleasing,
right? No, and I like kids think those things are so fun, but like I'm really trying to develop a whole Haunted Mansion aesthetic.
Yes, she is.
I have the photos that change from like the lady with curly hair to like Medusa.
Oh yeah.
I have the guy who turns into a skeleton, the lady who turns into a cat, the stretching room photos, the clock.
No, she's committed.
I've committed. I'm working on a every year I'm buying something new.
Do you have the crystal ball head?
I do not have Madame Leota yet. That is one that I really want.
Yep. Yeah. That's next on your list. We're gonna start a GoFundMe.
Next on my list is actually I want the singing busts.
Oh, that's fun.
Yeah.
They weren't in the movie. Did you see the movie ever?
I haven't seen the movie yet.
That's a missed opportunity.
I know.
Stupid.
Ugh. But I need to see it. Someone told me that it's too scary for kids, though.
Maybe for your little ones. Millie watched it. She wasn't like, she was also watching YouTube, I think, because her attention span is too small, but she wasn't scared.
She wasn't scared? No. I don't know if my kids would be scared. They're not really...
I think, like, it's scary. My kids, my older kids, were a little bit freaked out in the beginning. And then as the movie gets, like, the ghosts get sillier and sillier. So then they're not scary by the end.
See, I need to see it before I take them to it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's probably for the best.
But you went down to St. George and you enjoyed the sun.
Yeah, it was nice. It rained there a lot.
Really? Yeah. Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. I actually saw that, like, the freeway was closed down for a little bit. You didn't get stuck in that.
Luckily, no. There was a ton of traffic. But it was fine. Todd's like, will you drive for like the first hour? Because we left while he was still working. And I was like, yeah, for sure. And it was, I got like the most intense road rage because it was just.
Totally.
Traffic.
Right?
Super annoying. But yeah, Millie cried a ton. Millie is like, she's in a phase right now where she's really anxious about storms.
Oh, yeah.
Like lightning, thunder. It really wrecks her day. She like demands that I check my weather app and then is like, tell me the moment it's going to stop raining. And I'm like, honey.
It doesn't, it's not.
We've come quite far, but I can't do that.
Right.
So she was really nervous that the pool in the backyard of the house was going to overflow and be ruined.
Aww.
So my father-in-law kept having to be like, it's made so it won't do that, sweetheart.
That's so nice.
I know. Because Todd's like, hey, Dad, the pool can't overflow, right? And he's like, looks at him and he's like, oh, yeah, no, for sure.
No.
Never. It was funny.
Well, my kids always get super nervous if I, like, start filling the washing machine.
Oh.
And I, like, leave it open. They're like, Mom, it's overflowing. And I'm like, no, that's not how washing machines work. And I'm like, genuinely, it stops at a certain point. It doesn't just keep
filling. I don't know if you know what you're talking about.
But they always send me into a panic. They're like, Mom, you forgot to turn off the water. That's always what they say. And so I'm like, shit, did I like leave like the bathtub running?
Oh,
or
geez.
Like, so I run upstairs and I'm like, you gave me a heart attack about this? No.
You're like, honey, it's gonna be fine.
I know.
That's the best. Well, right after we moved in, we had a front loader, which I hated.
Oh, yeah.
And the hose popped out of the back while it was running and it like flooded the floor and it was such a freaking nightmare.
Do you still have a front loader or no?
No, we finally got a top loader.
Yeah. See, and that's what I like about the top loader is like I will usually like put, because I know you've had this problem before, but I'll put like my Tide Pods in and then I let the water dissolve it before I put my clothes in because otherwise you get those like weird marks on your clothes.
Right. That's why I switched to powder detergent.
I know.
Which I don't like as well, but.
Yeah. I feel like I still have to do the same with the powder. Otherwise, like sometimes I'll get clumps of powder in my clothes.
Oh, I haven't seen that.
Well,
because ours has a little compartment for the powder.
Oh,
it likes water goes through it. But if I sprinkle it on, probably.
Yeah.
Probably. And that's been Laundry Corner.
Wow.
Okay.
You guys, what are you using for your laundry?
Are
you
still
using something way more economically?
Probably.
Wise?
Because fragrance is bad. Guess what? I want to smell good. Sue me. I've tried the natural.
Sue me.
The natural detergents that are supposed to be, you know, better for your skin.
There's like those ones that are like sheets.
Maybe.
Like it's like a dryer sheet, but it's like a dissolving.
Oh, yeah. But I'm like, I just need my clothes to smell really strong or I will not believe that they're clean.
Yeah.
I will believe
In fact,
it.
I brought Febreze for our chairs.
And they smell real clean.
Yeah. It's Gain scent because I like the smell of Gain.
It smells so good. Mm-hmm. The lady in the commercials, like that, just she just looks like she gives really good hugs. You know the one I'm talking about, like the Gain lady. Like
I need to see her.
the way she is acting and smelling. Yeah, Gain. I love the smell of Gain.
I wish she could hug me so bad.
I know.
That's what you think every time.
Lady.
Oh, yeah.
You remember her?
Yeah.
Look at. It looks like she's smelling the yummiest smell.
It's true. Yep.
Oh, that's not. There she is.
Oh, yeah.
Doesn't she look like a good hugger?
She does.
She looks like she'd give you like the best mom hug where you're like,
everything's
going to be okay.
Yes. Oh, I love it. Our conversations are so thrilling.
Yes.
Febreze, hugs.
I love talking about hugging a stranger.
When was the last time you hugged a stranger?
Never. When's the last time I spoke to a stranger? Never.
Oh, yeah. You're introverted.
Yeah. Well, we went to that meeting for merch, and there was a guy who's like, oh, yeah, like, I see you all the time at the gym. And I was like, yeah, totally. I'm not very friendly. And I was like, that's why I don't talk to you.
I'm the kind of person who will just chat with anyone. I'm like, oh, hi, what are you doing? So, no, for sure.
Yeah, we're not the same, but that's okay.
We're not, but that we work so well together because of it, right?
It's so true. Mm-hmm. It's so true.
It's magical.
I feel like I had this epiphany after I had my thyroid taken out because your thyroid sits right on top of your voice box.
Yeah.
So after I had my thyroid removed, it's like inflamed and whatever. So I literally didn't have a voice for a month. And I realized how much people talk when they don't need to. And I have talked less ever since.
Really?
Yes. Because since I couldn't talk and like, I don't know, I was like the art of conversation, I became a better listener. But I was like, wow,
look at you.
People just never shut up. Not you.
Not me.
No.
Except for I really don't ever
Everything you say is so interesting and so funny. My sister-in-law Brittany was like, I really like listening to you and Taylor. You're so different. And Taylor's like, so unique and weird. I was like, right? She's the best. Because she's like, I'll see things posted on your Instagram and I'll know Taylor posted it.
Absolutely.
It's insane.
Unhinged. And yes. You're like, did Christine post this? Absolutely not. No. Every once in a while, though.
You will.
I'm like, oh,
this
I'm
content
so
was handmade for Taylor. So,
so proud.
Share.
Like, I sent Christine this video of this guy who, I don't know, he's very pierced on his face, a lot of piercings. Uh-huh. But he just out of nowhere pulls out two hot dogs that are like
in his, what, where were they?
A foot and a half long where out of his those? Mouth. And then they just like flop forward.
Yeah, I watched like the first half a second of that video and then I was like, no,
no, no.
I don't, why? Speaking of hot dogs.
Yeah.
There is a drive-by hot dogging that is happening.
I want to do that to people so bad.
Somebody, they posted it. They're like, there have been hot dogs in my mailbox every day. Sometimes there's bun. Sometimes there's condiments. They're like, the police have been informed.
See, the problem is now we all have those group mailboxes. You can't do that.
No, I have a regular mailbox, so I could be hot dogged.
You know what? I'm just going to see if I can catch my mail person next time and like, excuse me, can I just squeeze a few hot dogs in there?
They'll be like, this is a federal offense, Taylor.
I'm like, no, I'm mailing them. They're to my friends.
Look, it has a stamp on it.
I mean, you can like mail a potato.
Oh, mm-hmm. It's like a single potato.
Yeah, like I think there's like a website where they will mail a potato for you. I'm almost certain of it.
It's like Spuds, the Spuds Pony Express.
Yeah.
I love it.
I'm looking it up right now. In some real, it's called a potato parcel or anonymous potato, mail a custom potato.
Whoa, custom. How custom does it get?
I don't know. I gotta look at this.
I would like a potato carved to look like Mount Rushmore. Delivered to my old gym teacher.
Send a face potato. They put upload any face on a potato.
What? It's like 3D printout.
Yeah.
What?
Wow. Who knew?
I would love it if somebody sent one to our PO box.
Multiple websites. for this.
Wow, guys.
Yeah.
There's a business opportunity here.
There is.
What's the most random thing you can think to mail?
Yeah.
There's a market for it.
As with coconuts, this is from USPS, okay? As with coconuts, potatoes can be mailed without a box. Simply write an address and it's going to, and your return address is on the spud. Have it weighed for appropriate postage and it can be shipped as is.
Just Sharpie your potato.
Yeah.
I would be so pissed as a mail person being like, are you serious?
This again?
Have you seen The Boy Meets World where Cory and Topanga, they go on, I think it's their honeymoon, and he decides that he never wants to go back and he's going to make coconuts that look like people to sell, and that's his career now. It's like that, but potatoes.
Yes, absolutely.
But speaking of sending food, have you seen people messing with the robots that will, they're like Uber Eats, but they're robots?
No.
So I've seen videos of people like, your Uber Eats robot is coming, and people will like lay down in front of it to stop it, but then it will like Mars rover like over you, and then it continues on its way. But then I've seen like,
it's not like a, is it a car?
It's like a, no, it looks like a little Roomba, but you know, bigger. It looks like a little Mars rover.
I feel like I need to look this up. This is insane. Oh,
did I save it? I might have saved one because I was like, this is needs to be discussed. But people, like homeless people, are breaking into them and stealing the food out.
Oh.
Which I'm like, that's a problem. You've like, yeah. You're like, oh, well, look at this modern convenience. Everyone's going to love it. Then someone's going to ruin it.
Well, and because originally I was thinking, well, that's actually a really good idea because I think they like actually tested like anonymously certain amount of food that came from Uber Eats, and I would like a significant amount of food has been tampered with by the driver.
Like what?
They'll steal a fry or something.
Okay. Mm-hmm. I mean, not cool.
Not cool.
As long as they're not like roofying my fries.
No, not like that. They're just like eating some of your food and touching it. It's fine. It's
stupid. Dang it. I didn't save any it's of okay. the photos. But yeah, people will like knock them over. So I don't think that that's going to super work out.
No.
The robots. But
dang it.
Hey, you know what?
What a bummer.
It's, you know what? Uber Eats drivers' jobs are saved. Robots can't do it.
They can't. I know. Even like
those. Win for the human race.
Those driverless Ubers or whatever. Those freak me out.
Yeah. I don't know how I feel about them. Like how your Tesla could drive itself. And I'm like, I wouldn't.
Like I would do it, but then I'd be like hovering the whole time, like
I know. Well, like it will like a driverless, like
yeah
no. I wouldn't. I've been in it. I've been like, you know, it's driving itself, but I'm still sitting there.
Oh, totally.
But
creepy.
What else was I gonna talk about?
Well, I was gonna say, did you hear, so your terrifying movie, The Exorcist Believer,
the new one?
Yeah, it was supposed to come out on Friday the 13th.
Yeah.
And they had to move it.
Why?
They moved it up a week to October 6th.
What?
Because Taylor Swift is releasing her concert on October 13th.
I got tickets for that
one. And nobody wants to compete with it.
Oh, damn. Mm-hmm. That sucks because it's the 13th and Taylor's like 13. Mm-hmm. But I was like, damn it, that would have been really good. Yeah. If Taylor didn't just come in and cover the whole earth with her Taylor Swifties. Totally.
I'm glad you've already gotten tickets. I think it said that, like, I read that it's already outsold any movie ahead of its
I believe it. Oh, showing. And I had to get shitty tickets. We're, like, within the first couple rows.
You're like,
yeah, pretty much. But I was like, whatever, I'm sure
it'll be fine. You're gonna love the show.
And the tickets are so much more expensive than regular tickets.
Really?
Yeah. A kid's ticket was $16.
Why?
And an adult ticket was like $24.
I didn't even know that.
Yeah, I don't know. But by the time I went to check out, I was like, well, since we didn't
spring. Are you going with your girls?
Yeah. I was like, since we didn't spring for, you know, concert tickets, I was like, this is pretty cheap. And Jocelyn's like, Mom, we really need to go to Taylor Swift. And I was like, yeah, sorry, we didn't make it happen. She's like, well, she's going to Europe. Let's just go in Europe. And I was like, yeah. Okay, I was like, this is cheaper than going to Europe, so.
Oh my gosh.
We'll just do that.
That's hilarious. I mean, but are the tickets even easier to get in Europe?
I have no idea.
I feel like they're going to be just as difficult.
I'm sure, yeah. No, they're going to be sold out.
Now I'm like, I want to see, I mean, I'll probably go see the movie, but.
I know. Yeah, well, if you want to, you better get some tickets.
Apparently.
Another thing that happened this week in pop culture, Joe Jonas is getting a divorce from but Sophie. Why? I don't know. When I saw it, I literally gasped.
I know.
Because I, in my mind's eye, they were this perfect kind of weird couple.
Yeah.
Like, they just made sense to me for some reason.
Why are they weird, though?
Well, she's so much taller than him. And is she is, like, a serious actress, and he's a freaking Jonas brother.
Yeah, but he's, like, he has, like, a real band, too.
Does he?
Yeah.
What is it?
It's, this, what are they called?
The Brothers Jonas.
No. I mean, they do that.
Mm-hmm.
DNCE.
Oh.
Cake by the Ocean.
Oh,
talk to me,
okay. I didn't realize. I That's just him. Didn't differentiate between him as like his solo situation.
Yeah.
Yeah. What is her name?
So
Joe Jonas, because they have two kids together. A Turner.
That's so sad.
Sophie Turner.
Well, they've only been married for 3 years.
I know.
It's not very long.
I really liked them, so I'm quite sad.
I know.
And I know that one person has to file. I guess you can't file for divorce jointly, mm-hmm. but it's like, Joe Jonas filed for divorce, and I was know. Like...
It almost makes it sound like he surprising her with this, and yes. she had no idea. I'm like, no.
One person know. Has to file.
Exactly.
Because I was like, I'd want to file at the same moment, so it's like, you both file and not like...
Yeah.
He sprung it upon her.
No, it was mutual.
It's mutual. We're not compatible.
Yeah.
Anyway, I don't know why, but I'm very sad about that. And freaking Timothy Chalamet and Kylie are still together.
It's so weird.
And they were seen out at their first out and about at a Beyonce concert.
Oh, yeah.
And it was just as weird to see them.
Do you like Beyonce?
I mean, sure.
I feel like Beyonce, like, I have tried to buy multiple of her albums because, like, I like certain songs.
Yeah.
But I don't love all of her songs on, like, like, there's, like, two songs on an album that I'm, like, dig those.
Yes, exactly. Yeah.
I mean, she's a queen.
Yeah, no, love her. You don't want to mess with Taylor Swift's fans, and you don't want to mess with the Beehive.
No.
But, yeah, probably the same. Yeah. Like, I like all of her huge hits. And I would probably go to her concert, but I wouldn't, like, fly to a different state or something for
I feel
it.
Like, though, even more so with her, like, Taylor Swift at her concert, I was like, oh, I'm not, like, a huge, like, Swiftie. Mm-hmm. Like, I love Taylor Swift, but I'm not a Swiftie. But almost every song I could recognize.
Uh-huh.
I don't think I'd recognize every single song that Beyonce was singing. Mm-mm.
Nope.
You know?
For sure.
So.
Yeah. Yeah. You're so lucky you got to, you're so hashtag blessed that you got to go.
Blessed. And I didn't even have to spend $2 trillion on the tickets, which is amazing.
That is amazing.
Mm-hmm.
I can't remember who it was, but it was like maybe Elton John or some other like elder rock star person that was like, the last time that we experienced anything like the Taylor Swift thing that's happening right now was Beatlemania.
Right?
I was like, she is like
killing
next level.
She's killing it. Love her or hate her. It doesn't even matter.
I know. And for some reason, Kate has decided that she hates her.
Kate!
I know. I have, because I bought the tickets. And I think it's just because Jocelyn likes her. Mm-hmm. And so she just, you know, has to be she's oppositional. The younger sister. Yes. She's like, I like Kelsey Ballerini only.
I don't even know who that is.
She's a singer. Like, she sings, I don't know, probably a song you would know. I can't think of anyone.
Probably
now.
A song
you would Probably a song you would know.
Maybe.
So Kate's been like so negative about it. I was like, I got Taylor Swift tickets. We can go to the movie. And she's like, I don't want to go. I hate Taylor Swift. I finally had to be like, Kate, stop being so negative. It's weird.
You're like, I spent $16 on these tickets.
I know.
You will pay me back.
I know. Well, I was like, if she doesn't want to go, I'll take one of Jocelyn's friends. But then the other day she was like, Mom, I think I do want to go to the Taylor Swift movie. And I was like, okay.
So funny.
And I'm like, whatever.
Also, I don't know if you have more, but I showed Christine this, but my mom went to Salem.
Yes, she did.
And she got me a arrest warrant for sundry acts of witchcraft. It's like a whole thing.
Oh, that's upside down.
Oh, that's upside down. Anyway, it's very exciting.
I love it. It's very cool.
Mm-hmm.
It's very official.
Yeah. Sarah Mural.
Yeah. We need to go.
Yeah.
To Salem.
Oh. Someone messaged us and said that it's so fun and there's like tens of thousands of people every weekend.
Oh my gosh.
And I was like, is it still worth it even though there's that many people? And they said, absolutely.
Well, yeah, because isn't the high school's mascot warlocks or is it witches?
I don't know.
I think I looked it up last year. I think it's witches. It was like freaking rad.
It's amazing.
And it just looks so gore. It's like just so idyllic.
Yes.
Looking like all the leaves.
In the fall.
Think Hocus Pocus.
Yes. And you light a black candle in the woods.
Oh my gosh. Me and Todd were talking because our girls watched Hocus Pocus yesterday because they also were feeling the fall spirit. Mm-hmm. And I was like, I remember watching this as a kid and being like, the main kid in it, I can't even think of his name, how he's a virgin and being like, what a loser.
What an idiot.
How embarrassing for him that he's like 15 and a virgin.
Embarrassing.
How embarrassing.
How old were you when you thought that?
Oh, I don't know, 10? I was like, I probably didn't even know what a virgin was. I was like, loser. You're like, it's like that Carrie Underwood song where it's like drinking a fruity little drink because she can't shoot the whiskey.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm like 11 singing that and I'm like, what a joke.
How embarrassing for her. His name is Max.
Max. That's right.
Yeah.
Okay. Oh, I love that show. We're 26 minutes.
Wow.
I didn't have anything else to do.
That's all I got.
Okay. I think you're first.
All right. I have a question for you.
Okay.
Do you have a fear of flying at all?
Sometimes when it's bumpy.
Yeah.
But I'm usually just like, I'll grab like my side handles, but I'm not like too stressed.
My friend and I mean, we just went to California and we flew on the airplane and we were talking, you know, we were in the same row. We actually had a seat between us and we were just chatting with each other. And then
there was a person between you.
No.
And they're like, can you imagine? Like,
no, but the plane started taking off and we're just like chatting like normal. But I thought it would be funny to like just out of nowhere do this. And she's like, what are you doing? Anyway, I just acted like I was blasting off into space, basically.
Were you talking to Jamaica?
Yes.
How did I know?
So, the odds of plane crash are not common. Mm-hmm. Just so you know.
Yeah.
And the estimate of the probability of going on an airplane and it going down due to an emergency is like 1 in 11 million.
Did you see the plane that was recently grounded because
of diarrhea?
Because of diarrhea? Because it was a biohazard.
Yes. It reminds me of my fart spray. Yes. The girl who thought that raw sewage was coming up the pipe.
Yes. It's like that. I know. I was like, I wonder if that plane came straight from Mexico because can't relate.
Right? You're like, that happened recently.
That someone's like, is it in the aisles? Are they running and shitting? What was happening?
Yeah. What caused it to be a biohazard? We must know.
I don't know.
But we've all heard the statistics that you're more likely to die in a car crash than a plane crash. And that always makes me feel better.
Sure.
Yeah.
You're like, I just take my life into my hands just every day.
Every day.
As opposed to on the, you know, one-off occasion that I fly somewhere.
I mean, it makes me feel better about taking a flight.
Definitely. So. Definitely.
And if you look at commercial aviation statistics for the last 5 years, there are approximately 10 plane crashes a year. And that sounds like a lot, right? But like,
kind of.
That being said, the likelihood of you even dying in a plane crash are wildly low. So U.S. National Transportation Safety Board concluded that 95% of passengers survived plane crashes, and even 55% survived the most serious incidents.
Mm-hmm. So 50-50 then.
Yeah. And according to an expert in the field of aviation safety and risk, Arnold Barnett, who is a professor of statistics at MIT, he says that if you take one flight a day, you would need to fly every day for 55,000 years before being involved in a fatal crash.
Okay, that makes me feel good.
Right? So right. I want to give you all these statistics ahead of time, okay? So since 1970, there have been 76 plane crashes in the U.S., and that accounts for 14% of all plane crashes in the world.
14%.
Mm-hmm.
It's not bad.
It's really not that bad. And with all this being said, I'm going to tell you the story of flight MH370. Have you heard of this?
I don't know.
This is the story of a plane that completely disappeared with 239 is this Malaysia? People on board.
I don't like it.
It's the worst.
I'm scared.
It's the worst. 239 people on board, 12 of them crew members. So, on March 8th, 2014, Malaysia Airlines flight.
It's too recent.
It's too recent. Flight MH370 disappeared from radar. For comparison, 239 people. My last Delta Airlines flight to LA had 158 seats.
Oh, yeah.
So it's almost 100 more people. It's
quite a big plane.
Mm-hmm. So the missing flight is one of the most mysterious disappearances, and it captured a lot of people's attention. There's even a documentary on Netflix that I watched in preparation for this, and I took notes from it. It's called MH370, The Plane That Disappeared, and it's a docuseries, and there's three episodes. They're each about like an hour long. So obviously, I'm not going to give you all the details that that gives you. So if you like watching documentaries, if this piques your interest, I highly recommend you watch it, because there's some really heartbreaking stories of like families. And I'm just mostly giving you details of like what happened.
Right.
And theories around
that. That would hurt my heart too much.
Mm-hmm. So the flight was a red eye from Kuala Lumpur, Malaysia, to Beijing. I looked it up. It's about a 6 hour and 20 minute flight nonstop.
Meow.
Mm-hmm.
Meow.
It was going to.
What is that noise I just made?
You just meowed.
Meow.
Excuse me. Where's the cat?
Meow. That's how I answer things affirmatively.
Meow. Just from now on. People are like, what is going on?
Meow.
They go,
meow. That's a really sad meow.
An upbeat meow.
Meow. What's happening?
I don't know. You guys, we're recording this at it is 10:28 right now.
It's quite late. I did take a power nap in preparation. So I was like,
so much caffeine today. And then we got here and I was so jittery from the caffeine that I was trying to like put together frames because my hands were shaking.
Taylor bought a frame from the thrift store that I'm pretty sure used to be in the Louvre and had a very high security painting inside of it because it was so complicated to take apart.
Screwed together at every corner.
We'll have to show you the picture that came in it because it's beautiful. Like, this is somebody's family member that went on a service trip to like some country.
Yes.
That they highly valued this photo.
Absolutely.
So they put it in a safe frame.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Okay. So 620 minute flight nonstop. So it was going to take off around midnight, fly through the night, and arrive in Beijing around dawn. Everything was routine. And like I said, this documentary has chilling stories of people saying goodbye to their loved ones, like as they like are getting ready to board or leave or take off. So some people are like headed off because they're crew members and they're leaving for their jobs. Some people are headed to like new jobs. Some people are going to like meet up with their kids in another country. And they're like receiving texts from their kids that they're like, I'm so excited that we get to come see you. And it's so sad. The plane takes 41 minutes past, takes off 41 minutes past midnight. It's a clear night. Everything is calm.
What?
Mm-hmm. It climbs to cruising altitude and it heads out over the South China Sea. And then things start to get strange shortly after 1 o'clock in the morning. So the plane is about to leave Malaysian airspace and about to be handed off to the next set of air traffic controllers in Vietnam. And the Malaysian air traffic control says, Malaysian 370, contact Ho Chi Minh 120.9. And as it reaches the limits of Malaysian airspace, the captain of the flight, Zahari Ahmad Shah, gets on the radio and says, good night, Malaysia 370.
Okay.
Then 90 seconds later, the plane suddenly goes electronically dark.
What?
It's the last thing they ever hear from that plane. Is what? The captain saying, goodnight, Malaysian 370.
What?
And it's gone.
What does it mean?
It completely vanishes from radar, and the mystery begins. The director of the Malaysian Airlines was informed that the flight was missing, and he's super stressed, obviously. So they requested that Thailand, Hong Kong, and Vietnam all try to contact the plane, but there's no response.
Yeah.
So from 4 to 6 in the morning, they're in complete panic, calling everyone to see if they've landed somewhere in China or somewhere before they were able to land in Beijing.
Right, because they were over the water at that point.
My gosh. Yeah. And after 5 hours of them not being able to contact the plane, they knew something was super wrong. And the plane only had about 7 hours worth of fuel. So early in the morning on the 8th, search and rescue had been activated. And standard procedure was that they were to go to the location where the aircraft lost radar, like got lost on the radar screen. Mm-hmm. So they did receive calls saying that personnel from one of the oil rigs in the South China Sea sighted an explosion, almost as if an aircraft crashed in the sea.
No.
Rumors and theories started to run wild on social media because people know that this plane is missing now. And so there's theories from that they crashed in the sea to hijacking to landing in the jungle. And since they don't know where this plane was, they had to like look at all of these things and kind of check into everything. They're like, it's a possibility. Who knows? And supposedly Vietnamese Air Force planes had apparently spotted two large oil slicks in the area of the southern tip of Vietnam, both about 6 miles wide.
Whoa.
Yeah. Another pilot reported seeing large debris in the ocean during a flight from Hong Kong to Kuala Lumpur. One thing they know for sure was that another pilot contacted the aircraft just before it disappeared. The captain of the overnight flight to Tokyo was positioned 30 minutes ahead, and he called them on the emergency frequency, and he told Malaysian media that there was a lot of interference static, and then he heard mumbling from the other end. And that's it. So at this point, families of the passengers start to receive news that their loved ones are missing.
Ah, I hate it.
Horrifying. And it's not like, hey, the plane crashed. It's just like we don't know where they went.
Yeah. Which is like the worst because you have a little bit of hope.
Yeah, you have no closure of like anything. You're really.
Oh, well, like they're going to find them and everything's going to be fine.
Mm-hmm. So the airlines decide to gather the families, and they met with all the families at a hotel, and they showed footage from this, and there's so much crying in the room. And the son of a passenger described it as a living hell.
I'm sure.
Yeah.
That's what it sounds like.
Yeah. A daughter of a passenger started to receive a phone call from her papa, and she tried to pick up the phone, and it stopped ringing.
Oh, so from her loved one that's on the plane.
Yeah.
Like when, like during?
During that whole meeting with.
What?
Yeah. And a lot of family members tried calling their loved ones on the plane, and they would get like connect, like it would connect and ring to the phones.
Yeah.
But that was it. And the families requested that Malaysia Airlines follow the lead on the connected calls, but they said they didn't have the technology to trace it further. Yeah. By the 9th, they were certain that if the plane had landed at another airport, they would know it by then.
Definitely.
And there was not enough fuel for it to still be in the air. There were like some hopeful moments, like the Vietnamese thought they spotted a life raft, but it ended up it wasn't. It was like a cable reel. Mm-hmm. And then the oil spills that the one, I don't know who saw it, but the residue from the oil slick was tested in a lab looking for jet fuel, but it only came from a ship.
Oh.
So it wasn't even related.
Oh, it's just boat diarrhea, guys.
Ugh, I hate when boats do that.
We thought it might have been plane diarrhea, but actually it was just boat diarrhea.
Did you guys know that, well, when I went to Paul Mitchell Hair School, we donated all the hair clippings to oil spills?
Really? Mm-hmm,
because hair absorbs oil really well.
That's very cool.
Very fascinating.
So when you have a big oil spill at your home, just hurry and cut all your hair off.
And wipe it on up.
Or use your toddler like a mop.
Back and forth. Like
and then Dawn dish soap like the baby duck in the commercials. Oh, it will get it right out.
I love it.
Problem solved.
Problem solved. We've solved.
What is this? A laundry problems. And oil spill podcast?
Sure is. You know all the oil spills you have in your home. Yes.
So if you spill oil on your shirt, hurry and cut a chunk of your hair off and stick it on it.
It'll absorb right out.
Saved your clothes.
Save the day.
You're welcome.
Yep.
Do less. God bless.
So there are many ways that a commercial airliner is typically in contact with the outside world. But on this flight, all of them went dark at the exact same time, which is wildly strange. I'm saying
hitchhiking or aliens.
Boom. It's an alien. That's not even a theory in this documentary.
What?
Why is it not?
That's the first place my mind went.
I know. So apparently the most obvious and simple answer of why they would all go dark at the same time would be some catastrophic event. Okay. Like the plane exploded.
Whoa. Or
hit the ocean and suffered a fire and it destroyed all the equipment.
Well, you would think they would have like a couple minutes. People would call their people, you know?
Yeah. So they're like, it, like if the plane like exploded, just who knew it was going to happen before it would happen before they could issue a mayday call. Whoa. I don't know. Yeah. The only issue with that is that the debris of the plane was not found under that spot.
Right.
So if like it goes dark there and that's why is because there was a catastrophic event, you'd find the plane there.
Well, I mean, not that I'm a plane doctor, but aren't there like so many sensors and alarms and like if something was wrong, wouldn't they know about it? Even if it was just like right you'd before, think. Like you'd think they would have enough time to like get a distress call.
Yeah.
Like I said,
I don't know.
Not a plane doctor.
Yeah. I don't know. It's just all terrifying to me.
I don't like any of it.
No. The second option would be that someone on board the plane deliberately turned off all its electronic communication signals.
Hmm. I didn't know that was a thing.
Yeah. So if this is the case, who did this?
Why did you do that?
Yeah. 2 days after losing communication on March 10th, news reports start coming out that apparently the plane was hundreds of miles off course and flying in the wrong direction.
What?
Yeah.
Can't they see that, though, from, like, the flight plan?
No.
No?
So this is how they knew. So when it was last tracked, it had turned the opposite direction. So the flight was a pretty direct path, and what happened was it was flying, like, northeast.
Okay.
Towards Beijing. And instead it crossed back west over the Malaysian Peninsula.
Okay.
And so something very unexpected had been spotted by a military radar system that doesn't require any kind of signals from the plane, but the Malaysian military couldn't confirm 100% that it was for sure Flight 370 because this radar can't tell you what kind of aircraft it is. So it could have been like a commercial liner. It could have been like a helicopter. So who knows what they're tracking or what this radar picking up. And even if it was, even if this is the flight, it vanished out of their radar as well too.
Dang it.
Yeah. But day three, there had been 40 ships and 34 aircraft that were unable to find this flight.
Yeah.
That's a lot of searching.
It really is.
And everyone was super surprised by this because you should be able to find the plane.
Right. Yeah. Or at least something, to, you know, there would be a lot of debris.
Totally.
Was it just sunk whole?
Yeah. And they're searching both the South China Sea and the Andaman Sea. And there's nothing. So that's like both sides of the peninsula.
Yeah.
And I just like, I would hate to be in the airline's position. Can you imagine?
Not having an answer?
No answers. And everyone's jumping down your throat. Oh, yeah. And you're like, I don't know either. This is a nightmare for everyone.
Mm-hmm.
But a lot of people thought that the airline was hiding stuff from them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I can understand that.
Yeah. So there's a guy named Mike Exner. He's an aviation expert. And he started working with a group of pilot engineers, scientists, legal experts, mechanical engineers, electrical engineers, like online trying to figure out like if they could come up with anything that they think could have happened. And also in the same group, I can't even remember what they called the group. They had this reporter named Jeff Wise and he was also trying to like help spin some ideas. So a lot of their first suspicion turned to the pilots.
Yeah.
So they had people using this program called, I think they had put, I don't know if it was like an open call, but they had this program called Tomnod that had people, anyone who wanted could come on and search high resolution satellite images.
Huh.
And so one lady was like, I'm a photographer. I like have a really good eye for like, you know, irregularities in like photos and stuff. And so she's like, she was searching through like these black spots of water over and over and over. And then she starts spotting these white spots and starts identifying them as plane parts. She's like, that looks just like a wing. That looks just like the nose of a plane. Yeah, which is interesting. So on March 15th, the Malaysian Prime Minister, which I can't hear Malaysian Prime Minister without thinking of Zoolander.
It's the Malaysian Prime Minister!
Not, Not once when they announced that it was the Malaysian prime minister did I not think of Blue Steel.
You were afraid that you were going to get activated and kill the Malaysian prime minister?
No, I thought I was going to save his life.
Yeah, that's what he was going to do. Mm-hmm. Okay.
I mean, he was brainwashed to assassinate him.
Yes.
But he ended up saving him with the Blue Steel. And that's what my part would be.
You've been practicing. I've been practicing.
So
you've been working really hard.
Look at these cheekbones.
It's paying off. Oh my gosh. Those could cut glass.
Right.
You'd be careful with those.
So he announced that based on new satellite communication, they can confirm that MH370 did indeed return back over the peninsula of Malaysia before turning northwest and disappearing.
Okay, so it was totally going the wrong way.
Yeah. And he announced that they're ending, because they turned completely the opposite direction, they were ending their operations in the South China Sea, the search there. No point. But the photographer had spotted all that debris in the South China Sea, and she had notified Tom Nod of this, and she just felt like nobody was checking into it.
Yeah.
So that was kind of frustrating.
Hmm.
The prime minister also said that based on the new data, they had determined that the plane's last communication with satellite was in one of two possible corridors. This is where it gets kind of crazy. So apparently, the plane left the area of the military radar satellite communication, and that's how they were able to track that, like, it was them going that way.
Okay.
But then there's another communication service called Imnarsat that had equipment aboard the plane that was communicating with a satellite that was located above the central Indian Ocean. So basically what this radar system or whatever the satellite system told them was basically that the airplane could be anywhere traveling west, but north or south.
Okay.
So like they could be anywhere in these huge areas that are hundreds of thousands of square
miles.
Really
narrows it down.
Yeah. In completely opposite directions of where they were looking.
Very helpful.
Cool. And apparently Inmarsat satellite was able to track via pings for up to 6 hours after the last contact of the air traffic control.
That sounds like it should be helpful.
Yeah, but they couldn't determine which direction. They just knew that the flight had been going for 6 more hours, basically.
Okay.
Yeah. But yeah, the satellite was not able to give them any coordinates of where it, I mean, based off this first assessment, it couldn't give them any coordinates off based off of where it was. So basically, the only information they have is that the military was able to track the plane going in the completely opposite direction till it lost contact, and then the satellite was able to keep in contact with the plane without knowing the coordinates, supposedly going in the same direction for 6 more hours. I don't know if that makes sense.
Okay.
But it didn't know if it went north or south from there. So now they have this firm confirmation that the plane was deliberately going off course.
Hmm.
Strange. So now this goes from like a downed plane situation to a criminal investigation.
Yeah.
With the general consensus being that the pilots took the plane.
And so, I'm sorry, remind me, how long was the plane in the air for before it went away?
7 hours.
Oh, okay.
So yeah. Before it went dark? Only like an hour.
Oh, okay.
It wasn't very long.
Okay.
Yeah. Because they took off at like 12:40 and at like 1:30 it went dark. So there was one pilot that was definitely more way likely to be the culprit because the co-pilot was super new and he had just been approved to fly as a first officer on a Boeing 777.
Okay.
So that puts the focus on Captain Zahari Ahmed Shah. Because he was extremely experienced captain, and he also had a flight simulator that was removed by police to see if, like, he had flown that route with 370 first. Yeah, it was, like, rehearsed or anything. 16 days after the disappearance, there's another press conference with the Malaysian prime minister, and he said that he was briefed by representatives from the UK Air Accidents Investigation Branch. So many.
Yeah, seriously.
AAIB. Okay?
Okay.
And that based on their new analysis, that Imnarsat and the AARB had concluded that MH370 flew along the southern corridor. And that's basically the route that goes to the sea. Because the northern route would go up to, like, Russia.
Okay.
Yeah. So it's super far from any landing sites. And so he announced that, therefore, it's with deep sadness and regret that he informs everyone that according to the new data, flight MH370 ended in the southern Indian Ocean. But there's no physical evidence.
Yeah, they're like, we can't prove it, but it's the most likely thing that happened.
Just math data. That's all they have.
Yeah.
And so
they're like, that brings me so much comfort. They're like,
great. Sounds wonderful. Thanks. Well, this reporter who's in this group with all these, like, fancy pants people who are trying to figure out what's going on, he said that he's an aviation journalist. And he said that never in history has 239 people been declared dead on the basis of mathematics alone.
Yeah.
And these family members were rioting protest because they felt like they just were trying to wrap it up quickly and they were trying to hide any further findings.
Yeah.
And so Jeff, as an aviation reporter or journalist, he feels it's his duty to come up with the first theory of what, anyway, that basically this pilot committed a massive murder-suicide.
Bro.
So this is like his story of like what he imagined this could have happened. It's a conspiracy, right? Because we don't know for sure.
Yeah.
This is just his imagination of like, if the pilots took the plane, this is probably what it looked like.
Okay.
Why do you have to write this story? I don't
know. So it's fiction.
Yeah. So theory one, he's painting a picture here. Okay. And this is it.
In his mind's eye.
In his mind's eye. It's shortly after 1 o'clock. Zahari is flying over the South China Sea. He's responsible for all the crew and passengers. Air traffic control calls up to Zahari, says goodnight. Oh, calls up. Zahari says goodnight, Malaysia 370. He's in between two areas of air traffic control, kind of a gray area.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe he tells the co-pilot, hey, why don't you go grab something for me? The co-pilot closes the door. Zahari locks it. Boom. And he turns off all the electronics that make the plane visible to the outside world.
I can't believe that's a real thing. I can't believe that you can do that.
Just wait.
Okay.
The plane vanishes from radar. For everyone else on board, everything is routine. And he just takes control without anyone else knowing. He makes a hard left, heading towards the Malaysian Peninsula. Maybe the co-pilot realizes he's locked out, and the pilot knows that he's going to have a hard time keeping control of the plane because the co-pilot's locked out. He's freaking out. The passengers freak out. They break in. I don't know.
Right.
So what does he do next? He depressurizes the cabin. Oxygen masks drop, but they can only sustain for 15 minutes. The captain has a longer-lasting mask. So he turns the plane south and flies straight into the darkness, waiting for the fuel to run out. 6 hours of flight until the engine stops running and pushes the nose down and starts to slide into a dive. Dun, dun, dun.
But by that point, everybody's dead.
Yes.
Including the pilot.
Yes.
That is
there's theory one.
So bleak.
Conspiracy one. Theory one.
Hate that one.
I really hate it too.
Next.
Now, there have been some cases where pilots have gone on to take out all the passengers. It's not unheard of.
Excuse me?
Terrifying. We don't like to think about this, okay?
Sorry.
But never has it taken someone this long to go through with that. Like, that's a lot. Like, 6 hours is a lot of time to, like, talk yourself out of it and rethink everything. So Jeff's thinking, like, even though this is a theory and this is a picture he's painted, he's not sure that that's what happened.
Sure. Maybe a little bit sick.
Right? So 4 months later, Malaysian Airlines flight MH17, a different flight, takes off from Amsterdam and is shot down over Ukraine near the Russian border.
But why?
And this is wild. Because this airline hasn't had any sort of incident since the 90s. And now, within 5 months, two weird incidents.
I hate it. I feel like I remember this happening and I was like, that's all fiction. That didn't happen. I'm not paying attention to that.
Yeah. And so it felt like, is this a huge coincidence? And like the odds of like
that's one, commercial plane.
Yeah, commercial planes never have problems.
They don't get shot down by the military.
No. And so the odds that they like this one airline lost 2 777 Boeings.
Malaysian Air.
Insane.
You're tanked.
Insane. Yeah, so the airlines are convinced that somebody is trying to like bring down the airline or something.
Yeah.
They're like, what is going on? Why are we having all these things happen? So they're wondering, like, how, like, did the Russians bring down both of these flights?
Right.
So the search begins again for MH370. And they have footage from the search. And you guys, we've talked about this. The ocean is scary. The ocean is insane.
Oh my gosh.
There's video footage of these boats going, and there's freaking waves that are like 20 feet tall, and they're like crashing on top of these boats, and these people are just like out there searching for this damn plane. I hate it.
Nope.
I hate it.
I am not about
it. Bless these people.
Bless them.
Because I would never.
I would never.
I would never. A year later, it's still unsolved.
Yeah.
I mean, at this point in the story. Okay.
Yes.
It's a year later. Mm-hmm. Still unsolved.
What?
And no now way. More conspiracy theories are going crazy. And so there's like so much to sift through because so many people are throwing out completely ridiculous theories that had nothing to do with the data. But also the plane isn't where the data says it is.
Yeah.
At least as far as they can tell. Like they haven't even been able to find a single piece of debris at this point.
Right.
So the captain's being made the villain, and there's no reason for him to do it because, like, he had a family. He didn't even say goodbye to his family.
Right.
He didn't leave, like, any sort of, like, suicide note.
Right.
And everyone's like, no, he was, like, very competent. He wasn't, like,
yeah, and his family's acting like,
strange.
Great. Now everyone thinks my husband's, like, a mass murderer.
Totally. And he was, like, a truly helpful guy. Like, he had a YouTube channel where he would do YouTube tutorials, like, on how to fix things around your house.
Oh my gosh, was he the guy who made, like, for people who don't have a dad, like, teaching you how to do dad know. Things?
That would be so cute, though.
The guy who made that page, I was like, that melts my heart.
Truly. What an angel. And he was known as one of the best pilots. Like, everyone knew he was one of the best pilots in the Malaysian Airlines.
Yeah.
So,
huh.
And people are like, it's ridiculous that everyone's blaming him because whatever happened to innocent until proven guilty?
Right?
Out the window.
When people are outraged, it's not a thing.
It's not a thing. So, 12 countries were searching for this plane, finding nothing.
I don't
in the
it.
Area that the data
I don't know
given
how
them.
Aliens aren't part of this conversation.
I know.
I think now that we've acknowledged that aliens are real, allegedly, mm-hmm. we need to revisit this.
Right?
From an alien standpoint.
I think so. So, and this documentary came out this year, okay?
Mm. There's plenty of time.
They had all they the- did not catch the news, okay? So they finally release all the data from Inmarsat. And there was a paragraph in the report that said, the piece of equipment that controls the plane's communication with the satellite was turned off when everything else was turned off, but it came back to life.
What?
Yeah. And if you really want a plane to disappear, you wouldn't turn the equipment back on.
No.
So this made a lot of people think that maybe the data had been tampered with. Mm-hmm. But apparently, the best airline pilots are not trained how to turn the equipment on and off. So there's like no on-off switch in the cockpit. Like how that guy, his story right. was like, he turns off the communications. No such thing.
Okay.
So yeah. that theory is out.
I thought that sounded incorrect.
You can't do that. There is a way you can turn it off, but it's located in the electronics bay. And the only way to access this electronics bay is it's under an unlocked hatch under a piece of carpet at the front of the first class cabin. So basically anyone on the plane can pull up the carpet and have control of the airplane.
Hey.
Cool.
Don't tell any criminals that, okay?
Let's not talk about that. But also I'm like... But that's, like, in front of everyone. Like, you walk up to the front, you're like, hey, what the hell are you doing up there?
Like, oh, I think I dropped something underneath the carpet.
Under the carpet, under this latch.
I think my earring fell down there. Mm-hmm. Let me just check.
Yeah. So, basically, that makes everyone on the airplane a suspect at this point.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. They're all guilty.
Right? one of the passengers' family members was told, so this man's name is, I want to say it's like Ghislaine or something.
Was it Gerald?
Gerald. Gerald. He's French.
Oh.
So I can't. Ghislaine? Sure. He had a wife and two kids on the flight.
Oh. Mm-hmm. Nightmare.
So he was told by some guy, like, guy who is connected. His name's Mr. B. That's all we know.
Okay.
That the Americans know what happened. And there were two big American, like American big Boeing planes that they call AWACS.
Okay.
And that stands for, I like how it pulled up, Airborne Warning and Control System. Okay.
Okay.
So basically they're these giant planes and they have these like monitoring satellites on top of them.
Okay.
It's really weird. It's like a big disc on the top. And that, so these satellites basically give them the ability to track everything below them. And they were in the same area at the time of the plane disappearance.
Okay.
So they should have been able to tell where it went.
Mm.
So this guy who has inside connections says,
what are you hiding?
Yeah, something's being hid here. And so this guy's like, this investigation just isn't very transparent. So the families start fighting for more transparency. Fair.
Yeah.
So they decide that they're going to press charges for acts of terrorism because apparently once, at least in France, once you press charges for acts of terrorism, when judges are assigned to the case, they're required to conduct an investigation to, like, the end.
Okay.
And they can't stop until they get to the bottom of it. So that's still ongoing, even to this day.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. So Mr. B, the guy who told this guy this, was apparently a senior member of the intelligence service and a journalist named Florence DeChangy. I don't know. She's close. Also French. She met with him and established for herself that he was a credible, genuine member of the intelligence community.
Okay.
So maybe the data was changed to look like the plane was headed south when it was really headed north. And it is physically possible to alter the data on the Boeings.
Wow. Apparently.
So if it went north, it would have wound up around, like, in Kazakhstan, which is a client state of Russia.
Mm-hmm.
So then they kind of, like, look at the passenger list to be like, okay, well, are there any Russian passengers on the plane? And it showed that there were three ethnically Russian men on the plane. But also this is just...
straws grasping.
Yeah, because I'm like, yeah, there's probably three Russian men on any plane. You know, like, it's in that area. So, but that night, the seating diagram showed that one of them was sitting 15 feet from the unlocked hatch to the electronics bay. But what's the motive?
I don't, right?
Possibly as a distraction from what was going on with Russia invading Crimea.
Okay.
It was invading Crimea at the time. So they're like, this could be a convenient distraction because when the plane went missing, nobody was talking about the invasion anymore.
Right.
I don't know. So now Jeff, the aviation journalist, spins his second theory.
Yeah.
Are you ready?
I liked his first one so much.
Yeah. So it goes like this. It's 1:15 in the morning. The plane is flying over the sea in the dark of a cool, calm night. Passengers are tired and anticipating a boring overnight flight. The three Russians aboard the plane begin their operation. Somewhere over the South China Sea, someone begins making a ruckus near the first class bathrooms. The flight attendants hurry to see what's going on. And as this happens, the Russian in the first class slips forward, lifts the carpet, raises the hatch to the electronics bay, turns the hatch, and he plugs into the computer of the plane's flight control system. The plane moves closer and closer to the edge of the Malaysian airspace. The people on the plane have no idea what's happening. Meanwhile, while nobody's looking at them in no man's land because they're between two air traffic control spaces, the Russian agent turns the equipment on and the plane vanishes from air traffic controller's radar.
Gone. Mm-hmm.
And that is possible. You can do that from down there.
Whoa.
This agent has complete control of the aircraft. The captain and the co-captain are confused as the lights on their display blink and none of their communications are working. More shockingly, the plane suddenly banks violently to the left, and the plane is in a maneuver that neither one of them is commanding. The Russian agent then depressurizes the cabin, turns off the air to the flight cabin. Within minutes, captain and co-captain lose consciousness.
Mm.
Cabin falls quiet. Agent alters Inmarsat data. Plane has been hijacked.
And everyone's dead or just yes. The pilots? Okay.
I don't know. So people did not like this theory of Jeff's.
It's
in fact, They were so mad about it. Like the aviation experts that he was in that group with kicked him out of the research group.
Like, guess what? You're getting your nerd card removed.
They're like, get out of here.
Goodbye,
with
sir.
With your crazy conspiracies.
Yeah.
And he's like,
you're upsetting people.
Yeah. And he's like on the news and they're like, do you really think this could have happened? And he's like, I don't know what happened. He's like, I'm just trying to spin theories of like what could have happened. And I'm like, but that's not helpful.
Right. On such a big scale.
Exactly.
Like, talk to it with the board.
Yeah.
And like, keep it there. You don't need, like, people's families are lost.
Exactly. And this guy is, like, very prominently in this documentary, so definitely watch it. But, and also there's no way to fly the airplane from inside the compartment. Like, you can shut off the, like,
right.
You can make the plane go dark from there, but right. You can't, like, now I'm going to steer the airplane with my computer from down here in this electronics bay. But he didn't know that. He's just like, I don't know. It's just a theory. It's just a fun theory. It's not a fun theory.
It's not fun.
It's not fun. None of this is fun.
I guess it is a theory.
Yeah. So July 29th, 2015, 16 months after the plane went missing, there was some airplane debris found on an island in the Indian Ocean, making them wonder if there was a connection. One of the plane's family members immediately thought, if that's a piece of the plane, who planted it there?
Oh.
Because they've been searching forever and they haven't been able to find anything.
Yeah.
They're like, it's a plant. So there's another press conference and the Prime Minister of Malaysia confirms with a heavy heart that an international team of experts conclusively confirmed that the aircraft debris found on Reunion Island is indeed from MH370. And this was huge news because it was the first hard evidence that the plane went down in the Indian Ocean.
Right.
Reunion Island, just so you know, is near Madagascar.
Okay? Oh my gosh.
So there's this
Those
awesome-
animals are there too.
Yes.
The
Alex.
The flight. And Derek Zoolander, again.
Yes.
He was the lion.
That lemur who sings, I like to move it, move it.
Yes. I think, was he a meerkat lemur?
Sure. I don't know.
We don't know.
So there's this awesome character of a guy in this documentary. His name is Blaine Gibson, and his job title is Adventurer.
Adventures out there.
Yes. Basically, he just travels the world, and that's all he does.
In his house that is lifted up by helium balloons.
Yes. He kind of seems like that kind of a lunatic, but, like, he's entertaining. So he hears about this airplane wing, and he's like, I'm an adventurer. I want to find more debris.
Yeah.
So he went to the Mozambique Channel, and he finds this white metal triangle that says, no step on it. And he took off. So he finds the thing. And they're like,
and
that's another part of the plane.
He stepped on it, didn't he?
Yeah.
That son of a bitch.
Son of the bitch. So he then takes off to Madagascar to find, he found 20 more pieces of wreckage.
That's quite a lot.
Yeah. A reporter called him a modern day Indiana Jones.
Hey. Loving that.
But
for
how
him.
Is this one guy finding all these pieces that no one else could find?
Yeah.
And also they pointed out that, like, he finds all these pieces and just, like, randomly there's an American, like, an English-speaking reporter on the beach with him.
I don't like it.
It doesn't make sense.
It stinks.
Right? So this wouldn't be the first time the Russians planted false aircraft debris to mislead investigators.
What are you hiding, Russia?
It has happened before
Mother
in
Russia.
1983. So Jeff, our fellow storyteller here, wonders, is Blaine linked to Russia, even though he's an American? So he finds that Blaine had set up a company with two business partners from Central Russia back in the early 90s. And he had been present when the Soviet Union had collapsed. And he could speak Russian fluently. So he had a lot of links to Russia.
Stinks.
Then we flash to a clip of Blaine saying, he goes on and says, I very much doubt that Jeff Wise would go on Netflix and accuse me of being a Russian spy. He has absolutely no basis for that, and he knows that it would be serious defamation. And I was like, literally the last clip, he was like, I think he's connected to Russia. But then Blaine also goes on to say that he's been accused of horrible things. Things that are so ridiculous, they're laughable. He's been accused of being an American spy, a Russian spy, a Chinese spy, an international organ trafficker.
Whoa.
An international sex trafficker.
He's
like
I'm
bro,
kind of seedy.
Bro, why are you getting accused of all
he's
these
like,
things?
And I'm highly disloyal. Nobody trusts me.
He's like, they're laughable, though. I'm like, what?
Problems. I smell problems.
Yeah. So, character, okay? So, all of these pieces that he's found are highly likely to be part of MH370, but not conclusively a part.
Yeah.
And they can't prove it, but apparently the wing piece was confirmed.
Okay.
But our French reporter, Florence, she found out from a source from within the investigation that the wing part that they did find was missing its ID plate, which is a metallic part that's either riveted or glued on, like, in a very aggressive manner. It's right. expected to withstand all kinds of pressure.
Wow. And so it's still not, it's not even conclusive then.
Yeah. Well, and the only time you would take off the ID plate is when a plane is being dismantled. Red flag city.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Also, there were 12 serial numbers on the wing piece that they found, and they were all sent to the manufacturer, and out of the 12 numbers, only one was matching.
So, no, not it.
Fishy.
Saying
right?
it.
So, apparently with the families of the passengers, opinions on Blaine, our adventure buddy, are split. Some people actually, like, went down to search the beaches with Blaine, and they were like, I felt like I was holding a piece of, like, something that was close to my mother before she died. And then, like, other people are like, fishy. I don't believe him.
Yeah.
So, who knows? So 2 years later, they find out that the pilot flew. Remember how they took the flight simulator from his house?
Yeah.
Well, now 2 years later, we find out that the pilot did fly a similar route on his home simulator.
And they
just a month before the plane went
they
down.
They didn't find this for 2 years. You'd think this would be like high priority shit.
Right? So yeah, why did it take 2 years to find this out? And if he really did fly the route on the simulator, it's hard to imagine the pilot is innocent, if that's the case.
Right.
But apparently this was all found on hard drives that were investigated by the FBI. And the FBI knew this when they got the hard drives. But they kept it secret for 2 years.
Weird. I hate all of this.
It's weird. There's just so many weird things, especially... This is, like, we're getting to, like, the wrap-up, and there's just weirder and weirder things.
I don't feel wrapped up, I can tell you that.
You won't, even at the end, I'll tell you that much.
Spoiler,
you're gonna hate it. So the guy who got the information from Mr. B, the French guy, whose wife and kids were on the plane, he's very suspicious that, like, the Americans are leading the investigation from the sidelines, the British are the ones who got this data from Inmarsat. And the Australians are the ones searching the area. He's just, I'm sure you're like, when your loved ones are missing, you're just like, find them. Like, why is no one finding them? So he's just like I don't know. He thinks everyone's lying to him.
Yeah. Understandable.
And it is strange. This plane flew over 6 countries' airspace territories, and nobody was able to produce radar of this plane.
Oh, I am mad.
Yeah. Also, so many other weird things were going on. So if the plane did fly back the way they said it did, it would have flown over an Australia-run military base in Malaysia. So how did it not get flagged as something unusual flying over a military base? Usually that's what air traffic control, like, avoids.
Right. And you know what is really surprising to me? What? That Australia has a military. Why have I never thought about that?
I think most countries do.
Well, yeah, I'm just like, Australia, Canada, they just, like, don't have beef with anybody.
No.
Why do they even need a military?
They don't.
That's another thing that's fishy.
Fishy. I feel it. Also, when the plane disappeared, another weird thing. When the plane disappeared, there were two major military exercises going on in the South China Sea involving the U.S. So the area was highly monitored during this time.
So do we think they got shot down during friendly fire? Cover up, cover up, cover up.
I don't know. So again, how do they lose this freaking plane?
Mm.
It just doesn't make sense. So Florence believes that whatever happened in the South China Sea, not the Indian Ocean. She still believes that. And we still have the photographer lady who found what she believed to be plane debris in the...
Yeah, but I'm just like...
High resolution
photos. Okay, random lady.
I know, but nobody ever looked into it as far as she knows.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. No one was ever like, hey, we looked into that. Nope. It wasn't anything.
Right.
So, anyway... Florence, the reporter, also found that in the cargo of the flight, she starts to look at the cargo of this flight.
Okay.
And there had been 2.5 tons of electronics, like walkie-talkies and radio accessories, that were escorted to the plane and loaded onto it without being scanned.
Why? Because it's a bomb.
Well, apparently it was public knowledge that China was very eager to acquire highly sensitive U.S. technology in the field of surveillance stealth drone technology.
Hmm.
So maybe the U.S. found out that MH370 was carrying problematic cargo to China and tried to stop the cargo from arriving. So also there's those two planes that had the satellites, the AWACS.
Yeah.
AWACS.
Uh-huh.
And Florence met a source who happened to be a former U.S. force. U.S. Air Force member, and he said the two planes, the AWACS, that their jamming capabilities are phenomenal.
Oh, no.
Mm-hmm. And she says everything clicked for her. So these planes had the capability to jam the communication system of the MH370.
Jam all of it.
Making it disappear from the screens of the air traffic controls. And so our reporter, Florence DeChangy
Nightingale,
brings a third theory to the table.
I'm down for her theory.
Yeah. Interception. And it goes like this.
Okay.
Mysterious suspicious cargo, without having been scanned, is delivered under escort and is loaded onto the plane. The plane takes off as planned 41 minutes after midnight. The plane reaches its cruising altitude. Everything is normal. At 1:19 a.m., MH370 had requested to change over to Vietnamese airspace. Captain Zahari signs off good night. The plane enters no man's land. And it's the perfect moment for an interception to take place. It's possible that in that moment, the U.S. AWACS moved into action and jammed MH370, making it disappear from radar so it can't communicate. And MH370 possibly receives an order from the AWACS to go and land somewhere nearby. And when Captain Zahari receives the order, he possibly says no. He doesn't accept the order. He continues on his planned route to Beijing. Tension increases. And with the refusal of orders, the plane is nearing Chinese airspace. So the AWACS have to back off. But they still need to stop the plane and its cargo from arriving in Beijing. So possibly through missile strike or mid-air collision, MH370 meets its fate.
That's the only theory that I like.
It's the most logical one to me, but it's still just a conspiracy. Like, yeah. We don't know.
What?
Yeah. So,
the visual of a plane flying over a black ocean at night is, like, seriously making me want to die. And why is there this,
like,
black,
like, this small strip between air flight control, like, air traffic control?
Yeah.
They're like, you're just going to be on your own for, like, 100 feet. I don't know. Scary.
No.
I don't like it.
It's like really making me feel like
claustrophobic.
Yeah. It's making me feel things. Have you ever been on a cruise?
No.
Well, like when you're on a cruise and it's just like quiet and like you look out the air, the thing, your window, and it's just like black as far as you can see. Nope. That's what I think.
Nope, I hate it.
And those people had no idea that they were just
I can't believe you've been on a cruise. You hate the ocean.
It stresses me out, but it's so big that you feel like you're just like on land because it's so massive.
I know, but you're just like alone in the middle of the
ocean.
But
when I think about it and I'm like thinking about how deep it is underneath me and how black the water is at night. Yes, that's how I feel about this whole story.
I know. It's so terrible. So
I just need to hug the game lady right now. Right?
That's all I need.
I just really want to.
So the aviation expert who started that group to like research what happened, His name's Mike Exner, in case you forgot. He calls both Florence and Jeff conspiracy advocates.
Yeah, I mean, he's not wrong.
Yeah, and he says they're both getting attention from people who don't understand the facts or the data.
Yeah.
Amnarsat says they did not manipulate the data. Blaine Gibson, our adventurer, says there's, and I agree with Blaine here. He says, there's no way you could get China, America, Australia, England, Malaysia, Vietnam all together to have a big conspiracy to cover up what happened.
It's true.
To the plane. They're not friends.
What do they say? Two can keep a secret if one of them is dead. That's 12 countries can't keep one secret.
No way. No way. And all these theories, anyway, they're not friends. And all these theories basically denies all the evidence that there is. So, theories aplenty. Okay?
Yes.
Then, on January 17th, 2017, 2 years, 10 months after the disappearance, they announced that the search for the missing airliner is over.
Ugh.
And the investigators officially suspend the effort to find MH370 until further credible evidence comes. The people that are involved in the search seem genuinely and truthfully heartbroken over the outcome.
I'm sure, yes.
Yeah. And July 30th, 2018, 4 years, 4 months since the plane went missing, investigators released the final report on the disappearance of Malaysia Airlines Flight 370. Report says the plane was airworthy. The pilot showed no evidence of recent behavioral changes and was completely competent, and they cannot rule out an unlawful interference by a third party. So basically, the team is unable to determine the real cause of the disappearance or where the plane is, and that's where this story ends.
I really hate it.
You're welcome. I've wanted to do this for so long, but it's the longest story.
No, I was on the edge of my damn seat the whole time. And I knew there was no answer.
I know, I hate it so bad. Like, I had to include the plane crash evidence because, like, this is not a plane crash, but it is, like, a mysterious disappearance, which is looped in with this.
Now you, it's so, like a fear.
So rare that this happens, but, like, the most terrifying thing if it did.
I hate it.
So, there you go.
Well, thank you for that.
You're welcome and good night.
No, I'm just kidding. It's really going to stick with me.
Yeah.
All right. And your sources were that show?
That, yeah, it was the...
It's on Netflix?
Yeah, it's called MH370, The Plane That Disappeared. Director Louise Malkinson.
Love it.
Yeah.
Well, I'm really unsettled. I never want to fly anywhere again.
Same.
I'm flying to Vegas this weekend, and if I don't make it,
I don't know.
Aliens.
That's it.
I'm going to go to the first, I'm going to watch the first class and be like, who's crawling around on digging up the carpet?
Will you please text me and say, I'm being beamed up.
They're beaming me up, Scotty. Okay, my story. Taylor, have you ever had the hiccups?
Never.
Yeah.
Can you imagine?
She's a medical anomaly.
I'm like, that's insane.
Do you remember how Lexi Gray's mom died?
No, actually, I don't.
In Grey's Anatomy?
No.
She died because she had the hiccups.
I can't even remember that. Why?
She died, I don't know. It started as the hiccups. I don't even remember. I just remember that she died of the hiccups.
Oh, no.
Yeah, so... Hiccups. The worst, right?
Yes.
Not only can it ruin your afternoon, it can actually ruin your life.
Also, it can, if your baby has it while you're pregnant, it can keep you up all night.
I know. I write a note about that later. I sometimes loved when my baby said the hiccups, too. But then sometimes I was like, okay.
You're like, enough.
I stopped hiccuping in my womb.
In my womb.
Okay, so today we're going to be talking about the story, the rise, the fall of one Jennifer Me. Okay.
Jennifer you?
Jennifer M-E-E me.
Oh, not you.
You'll never find another me. Lover like me. That's for our Swifties.
I love it.
Okay, so Jennifer Me, she skyrocketed into the international, come on, aim lower, Jennifer, to the national spotlight when she sought treatment for a case of incurable hiccups.
Oh my gosh.
Yes, so she was shy and soft-spoken, and she had like a really innocent aura that just begged for help.
Oh.
She was a teen at the time. So it was really easy for the public to sympathize with a young woman who just had the hiccups forever. Because hiccups suck and hurt after you've had them for a while. You're like, okay.
Totally.
My chest.
I want to hear a story about the lady who, like, uncontrollably orgasms.
Oh, gosh. Yeah, that would suck. What a problem to have.
What it suck?
I don't know. Probably after a while.
Yeah, it's true. You're like, I'm actually over this.
Yeah, and you're like, now I can't. It's not even fun.
No.
Anyway, so daytime TV audiences rallied around Jennifer.
Oh, I love it.
Because this was in like the early 2000s when like Mari ruled the world.
Ugh, Mari Povich.
Mari. She was not the father.
She was not.
She wasn't. So the daytime TV shows were offering her advice and support, even trips to water parks, and they nicknamed her the Hiccup Girl. They're like, oh, we're so sorry you have the hiccups. Would you like to go on this water slide? And she's like, that will make my life exponentially better.
They're like, do you want to go down this crazy loop-de-loop slide at Action Park and possibly die?
Do you want to get in this giant cannonball and roll down the hill? And she's like, I'll try it.
I'll try it. Anything to get rid of these.
Anything. So, she was dominating headlines, going down slides, being razzled and dazzled for studio audiences everywhere.
Give them the old razzled dazzle.
Yeah. So the intention momentarily faded once her hiccups were cured. What a bummer.
Oh.
But her status as a medical curiosity ceased. But the frenzy resumed when she went on trial for murder.
Wait, can I take a guess of how she got her hiccups to go away?
Sure.
Scaring contest.
It's listed as one of the things she tried.
370 people lined up in their best attempt to scare the hiccups out of her.
Oh my gosh, yes.
370.
I would love to see that. Some were dressed up as clowns. Others were dressed up as ghosts. Mm-hmm. Some people came at her with the machete.
She actually had to walk across all of America, and they popped out at different points in her walk.
So she never knew.
Yeah, it was like a little bit of a case of Forrest Gump meets
Yes, meets Slapsgiving. Slapsgiving. You just never know when they're going to be doled out.
You never know.
Wow.
And then cured.
It did work. As a triple threat, that worked. So she was quickly known as a media darling. And then she fell to disgrace.
Oh, no.
I said, whoa, fame corrupts.
Seriously.
It just does. Okay, so let's go back to the beginning. It all started with a hiccup. Yeah. A single hiccup. Jennifer Mee was sitting in her science class when her diaphragm spasmed.
Ugh.
Yep, she's like, ah. Assuming that this would stop as quickly as it started, it did not. She tried to focus back on her teacher, but 15 minutes later, she was disrupting the class. So she was sent to the nurse's station. And then 5 hours later after that, she was still hiccuping.
I'd be so pissed, truly.
Seriously, it's so annoying.
It's so annoying.
It was only the beginning. So over the next several weeks, she visited pediatricians, cardiologists, neurologists. Doctors ordered multiple blood tests, CT scans, CD scans.
They also ripped so many CDs for her.
Yeah, they were like, try this LimeWire mix. Just see if maybe you could get a virus from the CD.
Some Gen Z do not know that some diseases were cured with ripped CDs in the past.
Yeah, called clinical depression. Yes. I listened to NSYNC until I was happy.
Absolutely.
And it worked.
Backstreet Boys.
Yes. Did I say NSYNC?
You did.
Blasphemy. WTF.
I'm embarrassed.
So yeah, she also had MRIs.
Mm-hmm.
Even with all of these examinations, LimeWire, CDs,
mm-hmm.
none of it would explain why her hiccups just wouldn't go away.
Yeah.
So she was hiccuping around 50 times a minute.
No.
Every day for a month.
No.
I said almost every second. Is that even possible?
Right?
That sounds like hell.
Seriously. How do you breathe?
I don't know. 50 times a minute? That's so, it's rapid fire hiccuping. Okay, so yeah. This bizarre case of unstoppable hiccups caused the 15-year-old Jennifer significant distress. She suffered deep chest pain due to constant pressure, and she could only eat soft foods like applesauce and Jell-O, and she needed medication to go to sleep. And she dropped out of school. Because I'm like, I bet she couldn't focus. Nobody in her vicinity would be able to focus. I'd be like, can you not?
Can you stop it, Jennifer?
I'm trying to gossip here and you're distracting me. I'm not doing my work, obviously.
I wasn't focusing on the teacher ever, but I definitely can't now.
I was trying to talk shit about how low Jennifer, you with the hiccups, how low your jeans are and how high your whale tail thong is. But you're hiccuping too much. Okay. So it went on for weeks. She's obviously miserable and she really wants answers.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so as any teenager in the late 2000s would, she went to the internet. She tried to sip ice water. She held her breath. She was having people scare her, like we said.
Did she ask Jeeves?
She probably did. That's probably who told her to do all of this. She tried remedy after remedy. Nothing was working.
No.
Nothing was taking this away. Her mental and physical health were declining. And her mother, her last name is Robidoux. I was like, is that her first name? Excuse me. She turned to the media for help.
Mm.
Yep. The Tampa Bay Times answered her pleas. Jennifer's story went viral. And her mother said they were getting 30 to 50 calls from media outlets competing for interviews. They're like, this is gold. Get this child in front of a camera.
Oh, my God.
Everyone wants to look at these hiccups.
Everyone wants to look at this girl who is in incredible pain.
Yes. People will love it. This is crack cocaine
for
the daytime audience.
Yeah.
Oh, yes. So the Today Show offered to help by coordinating a meeting between Jennifer, and a gastroenterologist, Dr. Yoshini. But the hosts turned the segment into a joke upon observing that Jennifer stopped hiccuping when she was speaking. Matt Lauer commented, so the solution is right here. Don't ever stop talking. They're like, very, hilarious. Very helpful, Matt Lauer.
Mm-hmm.
A-hole. So she continued to make public appearances with professionals suggesting Lamaze breathing techniques, acupuncture, a modified Heimlich maneuver.
What?
Yeah, and even swallowing tablespoons of peanut butter. I was like, that sounds like a choking hazard.
Wow. Especially when you're hiccuping.
Right? But obviously none of that worked.
Did she try the cinnamon challenge during this?
She also ate a Tide Pod.
Wow. Wow, that's quite the cure.
So she went on for 5 weeks this way. She was finally cured. Surprisingly, it took more than swallowing peanut butter.
Weird.
Can you even? So the truth was, they don't know the precise reason why she woke up one morning and just wasn't hiccuping. When speaking to a Florida radio station, she credited the combination of a special drinking cup, a chiropractor, a hypnotist, and an acupuncturist for her hiccuping stopping.
Wow.
Also, the scaring.
I want to say that there's this like new thing that I've seen like on TikTok and stuff that like gets rid of hiccups, and you like have to like blow into this weird tube. People are like, it works every time.
Huh.
And I'm like, but maybe it's for something completely different.
Who knows?
I'll find it and I'll bring it to the next.
I feel podcast. Like this whole episode is making me super uncomfortable.
It really is.
Your thing, and now I feel like my chest, like I'm going to hiccup any second.
It feels like heavy with a hiccup.
Yeah, like it's doom, like a doom hiccup.
Oof. No.
Looming over me. Okay, so when she was asked the most exciting thing about having her hiccups cured, Jennifer said, Monday, I'm going back to school for sure. That's the first thing I told my mom is that I want to go back to school.
Yeah.
I'm sure. She's like, I can't wait to wear my super low-rise jeans and my super high-rise thong.
Absolutely.
Yes, Jennifer, you know what? Get it.
Get it, girl.
Okay, so, but the end of her hiccups actually seemed to be the start of personal problems for her.
Oh, it drove her to insanity.
It did. So she dropped out of school. Mm. I'm like, but girl, you were so excited to go back.
I know.
She started using drugs, and she lived a secret life while living at her mother's house.
Oh, no.
It was 2010, so it's like 3 years after her hiccups, though, so it wasn't immediate.
Yeah.
Her stepfather found her MySpace account where she had been alluded to drinking, smoking weed, and visiting strip clubs. Mm-hmm. So, and Tom saw the whole thing.
And he tattled.
And he did the right thing and then noped out of there to Hubba Bubba Bubblegum, yeah, where he is
did.
Now.
He did.
Yes. If you know, you know. Okay, so as a punishment for all of this illegal behavior, unlawful activities, her parents shut off her phone and arranged, and an angered Jennifer made headlines once again when she ran away from home. Oh. They're like, hiccup girl runs away from home. Her mom told the press that that Jennifer's time in the spotlight changed her daughter, and she believed that she wanted freedom without boundaries. And her brush with fame just made this whole situation worse.
What if she ran away because the hiccups were actually Munchausen's by proxy, and the mom forced her to hiccup?
She's like,
for
do it.
5 months.
I mean, we can't rule it out. I think this might be one of your guys'
times
theories.
In a minute.
Yeah, it sounds like a weird aviation theory to me. Yeah, that would like, oh my gosh, can you imagine having to fake that? I feel like that would be worse than actually having hiccups. Yes, okay. So this is on a small scale, this story, yeah, obviously, but your brain isn't developed and getting this much praise and attention isn't, and it's not sustainable all the time. It's probably why child stars like have a really hard time with mental stability.
Totally.
Because she's like, when I had the hiccups, I was so important. Everyone mm-hmm. wanted to talk to me. Everyone wanted me to go down the water slide. And now, you know what? They don't.
Oh, no.
Yeah, so she was always a little rebellious, and being on national TV and brain medicines, which I think this is her mom talking, and I was like,
brain medicines?
Oh, the stigma of seeking mental health. Mental health aids.
That's weird.
Let's not do that.
No.
Let's not call them, in quotations, brain medicine.
No.
Let's not belittle.
Karen.
Yeah, chemical imbalances. How about we don't do that? Okay, so whoever said that, I think it was her mom speaking. It gave Jennifer the impression that she was important and no one could ever tell her what to do, including her parents. And this belief supposedly led her down a troubling path that would eventually see her charged with first-degree murder.
No.
Uh-huh. So Jennifer, in her heyday with the spotlight, came known as a sweet, endearing teenager. What's happening to me?
Teenager.
A teenager. That's an emo teenager.
It really is.
I'm just a teenager.
She has like a permanent tear on her inner eye.
They're like, as if she murdered someone, but no. She's actually, she's a teenager. fame was leading her down a troubling path. After her 15 minutes passed, she fell into unhealthy habits.
Aww.
So she was overwhelmed by being the, quote, it hiccup queen, and the attention went to her head. Her status in the media as a darling skewed her perception of the world, making her believe that she could do whatever she wanted.
Yeah, that's not how it works.
Yep, so she had a sense of infallibility, and this sent her down the so-called, quote, devil's path. I'm like, is this her mom speaking again?
Right?
Okay. Which she started using and selling drugs, hanging out in seedy bars, and even though she was a minor.
Yeah.
And her illicit activities, she just fell into a bad crowd.
Dang it.
Which included her soon-to-be boyfriend, Lamont Newton.
No. Lamont!
Lamont.
No!
Why are you named after a mid-40s stepfather with a mustache? That's the only Lamonts there are.
Yeah, no.
No.
I didn't expect this from you, Lamont.
I mean, you were born a Lamont. You had big shoes to fill.
You did.
And you did it.
And you let us down.
Unfortunately, yes, you've done it. So, Jennifer, she moved in with Lamont.
Oh.
Newton. Lamont oh. Newton. I feel like he has two last names.
Yeah, he really does.
Like how my husband has two first names, this guy has two last names.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And so she moved in with her boyfriend, who lived with his friend, Laren Rayford, and his girlfriend, who is also named Jennifer. So there's two Jennifers. Cute.
Wow.
Yes. So the gents, if you will.
Yeah.
None of the young adults had criminal histories, but they all enabled each other to fall further into their bad habits.
Yeah.
And they're probably, like, so young, and they're like, look, all this freedom. We can just, like, do whatever we want.
I know. I'm like, it sounds like teenagers.
Yeah, it sounds like... Sounds like that place is probably disgusting because no mothers are doing any mothering.
No.
And the kids are being kids.
Yeah.
What a shithole.
Ugh.
Okay, so their drug use escalated, mm-hmm. sometimes causing Jennifer to go days without sleep.
Oh.
Yep, and she also was on ecstasy, weed, and cocaine. So it made her feel invincible.
Just a few minor.
She's like,
drugs.
I don't have any rules. I just have me, my boyfriend, that other Jen over there.
I've got Lamont over here.
And I don't even have a bedtime. I don't even need to go to sleep.
No.
My mom's not even here.
Nope.
So when money for substances ran dry, the group delved into petty crimes. They were staging robberies to fund their next supply. So when the roommates once again needed cash, they focused on a man that Jennifer was already talking to online.
Oh.
Yes, so it's October 23rd, 2010. Jennifer asks a 22-year-old man named Shannon Griffin to meet her in person. So they had been speaking online for a while, and according to Jennifer, they arranged to meet up under the pretense of her friend buying weed.
Okay.
So Griffin's cousin, who is Griffin? Like, what? So anyway... I'm assuming her friend.
Lamont's last name?
Lamont's last name was Newton.
Okay. No, I thought that was it, but it's not.
Yeah, they just like introduced a new character and I'm
Griffin.
Like, whoa. So Griffin's cousin told the court that the young man left his house excited. Oh, okay. Griffin is the guy Shannon.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Yeah. So his cousin told the court that he left his house excited at the prospect of taking Jennifer out on a date. Mm. He's like, we've been chatting online. She seems super cool. The end. So robbing people wasn't new to Jennifer and Lamont. Ugh. And so they had a history of using social media to lure targets into fake dates or drug trades. And I said in parentheses, yet another reason I'll never date again.
Right.
You never know if... They're going to just meet up and rob you.
You never know if you're going to end up meeting a Lamont.
You never know where a Lamont's lurking.
You really don't. Sometimes you think you're going to meet a Philip and instead you meet a Lamont.
Yeah. And it ruins your whole day.
Yeah.
And then boom, your kids have a new stepdad you don't even like.
No, with the scraggliest mustache.
Wearing a shirt that's like really tight and his beer belly is poking out the bottom. And it's like weirdly hard. Like, why is your beer belly so stiff?
It doesn't make sense.
And it's hairy.
You're confused. His crack's always out.
And he's balding in a horseshoe.
His actual butt crack.
You could snort crack out of his crack. It's showing that much. But Jennifer likes it because she likes wearing her jeans super low rise.
She does.
Okay. So just like before, Jennifer used herself as bait. So Jennifer told Shannon to meet her at a vacant house across the street from her own. She's like, oh, meet me at this abandoned house for our date. And he's like, okay.
So I love meeting at abandoned
house. But she's like, oh, wait, come over here, actually, to this alleyway.
What?
That's adjacent from the home where Lamont and his roommate were waiting. So the pair assaulted Shannon, intent on beating him up and running away with his money.
Not at all suspicious. No, at all.
Shannon was not a small guy. So, he wasn't going to let himself be a victim. So the assault quickly escalated when Shannon defended himself. taking on both Lamont and the roommate. From observations of the crime scene, it seemed like he was winning, too. So, go Shannon. Shannon,
way to go.
Yes, 2-on-1, can't get Shannon down.
Nope.
But at this time, this is when Jennifer claimed that she turned and ran and fled the alley. And she was halfway home when she heard the first gunshot.
Oh.
And Jennifer panicked and continued running. 6 shots were fired in total, and 3 of which claimed Shannon's life. Oh, so Shannon was shot and killed. And he was murdered for less than $60. That's all he had on him. And I said, why?
Way to go, guys.
So dumb.
Oh.
So when Shannon's friends didn't hear back from him after his supposed date, they got the authorities involved. I wish that everyone had good friends like Shannon.
Yeah.
So police traced Shannon's phone activity to the roommate because Jennifer had been using his phone to set up the meeting.
Okay.
So authorities found the trio at a friend's house, and they possessed evidence connecting all of them to the murder. They had Shannon's wallet, driver's license, and work ID. I said, wow, absolutely red-handed.
Absolutely.
Could not have been more stupid.
Truly.
Yeah, so Jennifer's fingerprints and DNA were found on Griffin's belongings, and the roommate Rayford's .38 caliber revolver was found next to Griffin's body. So it looks like he shot him and then threw his gun at him. And then
he's like, bah!
Yeah, he's like, ah, here, I'm going to leave this behind so they can find me. It's my calling card. They were immediately taken into custody. Upon questioning, Jennifer said that she truly didn't know or understand what took place for Lamont and Rayford to do what they did. She's like, what?
Oh my God.
She claimed she had no idea that a gun was going to be involved, and their plan never included murder. Her family rallied around Jennifer, saying that she would never hurt a fly, but they admitted that she was, quote, naive and easily misled. And I don't know why they didn't bring up the brain medications.
Like, seriously.
Prosecutors, however, weren't so easily swayed. They're like, okay, pumpkin.
Yeah, seriously.
So,
John, her family's like, she's super dumb.
She's pretty dumb, though. So, she wouldn't hurt anyone, but I could see her getting involved with people that would hurt someone.
Yeah.
So, John Trevina, Jennifer's attorney, believed that Jennifer was a victim of manipulation and mental illness. He told the jury that Jennifer was manipulated into coordinating a meeting and urged them to remember that she had no idea that a gun was involved. Mm-hmm. And that she was actually not at the scene when the crime was committed. So Jennifer's biggest fault was associating with the wrong people, which her lawyer argued could be a symptom of Tourette's.
Oh.
Which I'm like, they're like, could be a symptom. They're like, does she have Tourette's? They're like,
no.
Could be a symptom.
Could be a symptom.
Could be.
She hasn't shown any other signs, but
it is a symptom.
It is a symptom.
Like how fatigue is also a sign of cancer, but like,
who isn't fatigued?
Right?
Right.
I know, I Googled something today and I was like, cool, I have cancer again.
Right. I know. I'm always like,
fatigue? Check.
I would say probably like twice a month. I'm like, I'm super tired. What's wrong with me? And it's like,
am I pregnant? No.
It's like, oh, you can get tired before your period, on your period, or after your period.
Or I'm while like, ovulating.
Cool.
I love being a lady.
You can also get headaches before, during, after, or during ovulation.
So I'm always ovulating, always having a period, always having cancer.
Yep.
Check, check, and check.
Check.
Okay. They're like, so she could have Tourette's. And also, remember when she had the hiccups?
Do you remember that?
Do you guys remember? Do you remember her?
It was a tough time for her. Look at this
hiccup girl, media darling.
Look at this hiccup girl. Look at her.
Look at her face. Do you remember when she was on the show? Look. Do you remember when she went down the slide?
Oh, my gosh.
Okay. Yeah. So they're saying that. Okay, so as a direct cause for what occurred, it might help explain her errors in judgment. She's like, I had the hiccups for a very long time, 3 years ago, so I forgot right and wrong, Your Honor.
He's like, oh, you know what? You're right.
You're right.
You're right.
You were on the Today Show. Matt Lauer told you to never stop talking. You're free to go.
Look at you.
Look at you. You spoke to the Matt Lauer. Gosh, I love him. No. Okay. Just kidding. No, we don't. Pretty sure he's canceled. No. So her lawyer went on to reveal that that Jennifer was on Thorazine, a medication that is used to treat psychotic disorders. And he claimed that she was schizophrenic and Tourette's and had the hiccups.
There's lots going there, on here.
She has a lot happening.
Yeah.
In some instances, being diagnosed with severe mental illnesses can prevent defendants from standing trial. So she was and being found guilty on the grounds of insanity.
Oh.
And it can prevent the death penalty. So a judge, however, was like, no, 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 no. She's of sound mind. She's standing trial. Their lawyer's like, damn it.
I threw
everything I had at that.
Pasta.
Yes.
Something's got to stick.
None of it did.
Not one.
Undercooked pasta.
Yeah.
Okay, so the boyfriend and the roommate were charged with first-degree murder and sentenced to life without possibility of parole. Get out of here. Mm-hmm. So Jennifer's trial was a little bit more complicated. So the jury had determined they had to determine if Jennifer was the mastermind behind the plan or if she was a bystander who didn't know what was going to happen. And what was going to happen when she led Shannon into the alley.
Yeah.
So defense argued that Shannon would still be alive if he didn't get involved with Jennifer. Facts.
Yeah.
And that she was the one who developed the relationship with him and orchestrated the meeting, fully aware of that it was going to end in robbery, which she was.
Yeah.
So, fair. The jury's decision came down to a confession. So the night that she was arrested, Jennifer called her mom from jail in a recorded phone conversation. You are always recorded. Mm-hmm. Know that. Okay. Know it. She said to Jennifer was talking to her mother. She said she set everything up in quotations. I set everything up and the robbery quote went wrong and just went downhill after everything happened. So Jennifer was the catalyst to Shannon losing his life.
Yep.
So she facilitated the ambush, fully understanding that she was bringing him into a situation that meant to cause him harm. And the fact that she claimed to have run away during the fight had no bearing on whether or not she could be held responsible for the outcome.
Well, and it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if you weren't planning on... You were causing something that could happen.
You were still committing a crime.
Yes.
And then a different crime ended up happening. So under Florida's murder felony law, Jennifer did not have to pull the trigger or even know a gun was present to be found guilty of murder in the first degree, which is kind of crazy.
Yeah.
But okay, Florida, pop off. pop off. Participating in the crime was enough.
Okay.
So, and the jury knew that Jennifer participated because she confessed to her mother on the phone.
Oh, yeah.
So I said, hey, everyone, remember your right to remain silent?
Mm-hmm.
Maybe use that.
Yeah.
And remember you're being recorded. Nothing is private.
Nothing.
Even when the officer steps out of the room, guess what? You're still being recorded.
Yeah.
So why am I trying to aid you criminals right now? I don't know.
We don't know. Just a little friendly We're just advice.
Presenting you the facts. Okay, so Pinellas County Judge Nancy Moat Lee sentenced Jennifer to life in prison without parole. Jennifer appealed her sentence, but the request was denied. She also has gotten a big old throat tattoo in jail, so things are looking up for her.
What does it say?
It's like a...
I guess it doesn't have to say anything.
It's like a... At first, I thought it was a butterfly or something. I think it's like a heart with wings. I couldn't really tell.
It looks like either two beetles fighting or two pine cones fighting. I'm not sure.
We aren't sure. Look at the picture and weigh in on our Instagram post. Okay. Yeah. So there is actually a petition going around on change.org for her release because she was convicted of first degree murder when she wasn't even present at the time of said murder. So do with that what you will. It has 343 signatures, so it's not going great.
No, it's not. But in her favor.
It's there.
Yeah.
And so, wow, what a sad story. Bad decisions ruin so many lives.
Right.
And fuck hiccups, am I right?
Seriously.
Get those guys out of here. But I am pro hiccups during pregnancy.
Yes.
One of my fondest memories of being pregnant was when I was about to get my epidural to give birth to Millie, because I was like, get this kid out of me.
Totally.
And she had the hiccups, and I was like, remember this, Christine, this will be the last hiccups you ever feel in the womb.
And you remembered them.
Mm-hmm, and I still remember.
Aww.
Anyway, so that is the sad story of Jennifer, me, the hiccup girl, turned into the murder girl.
Oh, man. What a bummer.
Yes. So my main resource for this was a Ranker.com article called From Media Star to Murderer, The Rise and Fall of Hiccup Girl Jennifer Mee by Saja Ska.
Oh, man.
And then some TikToks.
What a bummer for her.
I know. Fame, it corrupts. Absolutely.
Wow.
And we're already at almost 2 hours. So we're going to wrap up here.
You guys, thanks for being here. We love you. Mm-hmm. Please email us any funny stories. We haven't heard from you for a while.
Yeah, we haven't.
But we still love you.
We do. We love you so much. And we hope that you don't have any major hiccups this week. And that you do less. And that God blesses you.
Yes.
Bloom and bloom out.